Thank you, Brother Bill. In the Garden, great old hymn, written over on the east side of New York, in Troy, New York, and fell out by Troy, had a garden out by his house, and I believe it's still a garden that, with a monument there honoring the song in the garden. And he used to just go out there every morning and pray to God, spend time with the Lord, and in his garden. And then he wrote that hymn based upon the garden and the true story. I hope you have a place where you meet the Lord, and it's a special place in your life, and that you have a prayer life. And appreciate that song that reminds us of how he walks with us, and he talks with us, and tells us that we are his own. Proverbs 14:10, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and the stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. A stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. I want to speak on the subject this morning of intermeddle with your joy. Intermeddle with your joy. Some of our teens have heard a sermon similar to this a few weeks ago. About 3 weeks ago at camp, when I was down in Butler, Pennsylvania, they asked me to come down every year to the camp, and I preached twice to the teenagers, and I always try to preach on relationships, or in most cases, not having relationships when you're a teenager. You need to have friendships as teenagers, not relationships. And you're too young for relationships. You ought to avoid dating and having boyfriends and girlfriends and focus on your relationship to God and your spirituality, your education, and learning wisdom, that type of thing. And relationships with boyfriends and girlfriends can distract you from important foundational things that prepare you to be a good Christian the rest of your life. And it can separate you from friends. It can separate you from parents. It's very destructive to a person emotionally. I know it's the extreme, but I read about a guy this week killed 4 people because his girlfriend broke up with him. And that's the extreme. That doesn't always happen. But there's often a lot of pain, emotional pain and hurt from dating and breaking up and dating and breaking up and so on, hurting people. And that's not Christian. You know, we're not here to hurt people. We're here to help people, and so it's best just to wait till later in life for God to bring the right person into your life. And God's sovereign. He won't miss you, okay? You can trust him, and he'll bring that right person into your life. And until then, just wait on him. But you know, in replacement of not having a relationship with other boys and girls, I try to encourage positive substitutions. And I spoke this year about having a relationship with joy. Forget about boys and girls. Have a relationship with joy. And I want to bring a message entitled Intermeddle with Your Joy. Notice some people don't have a relationship with joy. It says in the end of verse 10 here, a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. Now, as most of you know, our theme this year has been joy. We've been, I hope, enjoying God this year, thanking the Lord for him. God is so good to us that he not only wants to save us from eternal damnation and give us a home in heaven, but he wants to give us a whole lot of great things before that while we're walking this earth. And one of them is joy. The Lord wants us to have joy. That's one of the main things that God wants to give us. It's kind of like icing on a cake. He not only wants us to go to heaven, but he wants us to enjoy the ride until we get there. And joy is part of it. We read in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So that's what it's about. It's not about eating and drinking, but it's about the spiritual blessings, having joy in the Holy Ghost. And so God not only wants to give you eternal life, but a whole lot of blessings before the culmination of that, the redemption of our bodies, by giving us joy in this life. I can't imagine what the joy in the next life is, but he wants to give us joy in this life. Our theme verse for the year is Psalm 16:11, if you can read it up there. That verse says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." If we could live in the presence of God, and we can in this life, we would have fullness of joy, and we would have pleasures forevermore. Now, I know the world has some substitutions, but they're empty substitutions. Look at verse 13. "Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness." Here are some worldly substitutions. Laughter refers here in verse 13 to comedy. Mirth refers to partying. And those make a person feel pretty good, even some bring some happiness to them for a while. But notice the end. "Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness." That comes from a Hebrew word which means depression. In other words, the person who looks to fabricated means of the world to replace joy, such as comedy or laughter or mirth and partying, they may have a short time of pleasure and happiness, but the end product will be sorrow and depression. It'd be like somebody on drugs, maybe using drugs for a while, and it satisfies, but then it brings them down, and they need more drugs, and then they need more drugs, and then they need more drugs, and more drugs, or more alcohol, or whatever it might be. More fixed. There's some people, men who are fixed on football. It's like their drug. It's the drug of their soul. They can't wait for it. They live for it. They breathe for it. They paint their faces, and it's just what they live for. It's so empty. It's so empty. It gives you, you know, a little fix for a short time. Or there's so many other things, not just sports, but you know, partying and drinking and drugs and comedy and our favorite TV shows and so on and so forth. And some of these things, you know, fishing and hunting and stuff, they're not bad. They're not sinful at all if some of that can be done in moderation. But don't look to those things as a source of joy. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is thy strength." And nothing else can equate to it. I want to encourage you this year to understand the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is fabricated. I've tried to teach this many times. It's fabricated by events or circumstances, maybe by getting a pay raise, getting more money, going shopping, going to your favorite restaurant, listening to your favorite music, watching your favorite TV show, partying with your friends. Those things fabricate happiness for a little while. I don't know if it'll last the next day, night, or 2 days, but not long. And those of you with some experience in life know that's true. But something else. Do not confuse satisfaction with happiness. I'm sorry, don't confuse satisfaction with joy. I said first, don't confuse happiness with joy. Don't confuse satisfaction with joy. There is a difference. Satisfaction could just be the product of having a lot of money, having to be being healthy at this current time, all your kids are healthy, got a job, got employment. But those things can change in a moment. And then that satisfaction will be gone, and you won't have the strength to endure hard times, the loss of a job, the loss of health, the loss of family. Death. Some of you think you have joy, but all you have is satisfaction. Yeah, the money's coming in, got a job, bills are being paid, everybody in the family's healthy. Everybody in the family appears to be happy. But all that changes. But the thing about joy is it doesn't change when bad days come. The joy of the Lord no man taketh from you. Joy is something God wants to give us that will be there on the worst day of our life that we can draw from and get strength. Joy can be there even in the death of a loved one, for the Scripture says, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. And when a loved one that we know in Christ dies, we do sorrow, but not as others would have no hope. We have the joy of a reunion someday, being with them in heaven forever. See, happiness and satisfaction, you better have something more than just satisfaction or happiness when the hard times come. And so don't be a stranger to your joy. A stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. Now, some of you are strangers to joy. You're not strangers to satisfaction. You're not strangers to happiness. You know what to do to make yourself happy. You know, ride some rides at the fair. Get your motorcycle out. Get your snowmobile out 8 months of the year around here. Go swimming, go fishing, go sailing, go boating, whatever. You know what to do to make yourself happy. Turn this particular show on at this particular time. You know how to trigger happiness, satisfaction, but you're strangers with your joy. A stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. What's the word stranger mean? It means someone who is alienated from someone or something. In this case, something, joy. Somebody who's alienated from it. They're strangers to this church. They're alienated from this church. They're not in fellowship like they used to be. There's strangers on your road. They don't intermeddle with you. You might know their names. It's on the mailbox. But they're strangers. They're alienated. To be alienated from someone or something. So when it says here, a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy, it means a stranger is alienated from something. He's alienated from something God wants him to have. Now, I believe God is good, and God has given to every human being drops of joy. I don't care if they're saved or unsaved. God in his goodness has given us all drops of joy. He's allowed us to experience something beyond satisfaction, beyond happiness, to joy. Even when we were unsaved, we've all had that ethereal feeling that put us on a pursuit, what our Declaration of Independence calls a pursuit of happiness. I wish it was written, life, liberty, and the pursuit of joy. But it says the pursuit of happiness, and so we begin to pursue that. As a result, our adversary, the devil, create substitutions. He does not want you to have God's joy, because that will give you strength to be what God wants you to be and to do what God wants you to do and go where God wants you to go. And he doesn't want that. So he wants to come up with some shallow substitutes. And we begin to pursue. We begin to intermeddle with those shallow substitutes, such as are mentioned in verse 13, comedy, partying, and so on. Some of you have been saved out of the partying life. You know what it was like. You know the few hours of that great, great feeling while you were drunk or high on drugs or buzzing or whatever. But then you remember the next day and the next day and the next week. How you couldn't wait for the weekend to come to do it again. That's the pursuit of happiness. We need to get on the pursuit of joy. And we need to intermeddle. The word intermeddle here means to engage with. To engage with. Now, I want to review in the rest of this sermon some things that I have tried to teach from this pulpit this year that we need to engage with if we're going to have joy. You know, you can have happiness and satisfaction and fly to heaven second class. Or you can have joy and sit in the first class section. And have the strength to go through anything God wants you to go through. And some of you, God has some pretty difficult things planned, maybe myself too. the joy of the Lord. I've seen the joy of the Lord in people. I've seen the joy of the Lord in people when it shouldn't have been there, humanly. And I know it's real. And God gives us drops of joy to help us get on track to pursue joy. So please, if you got blinders on your eyes and you've been content to pursue satisfaction or happiness, I want to encourage you to thank God for satisfaction and happiness, but pursue something better. Pursue joy. Did you ever go to the grocery store and they give out little samples? What do they do that for? They do that to whet your appetite, to want to buy the product. And I believe in our lives, God has given us all drops of joy to want the product, to want the whole thing. But there is a price to pay to have the joy of the Lord, and some are not yet paying that price. And I've preached for 8 months on this, and I want to review some of the things that you must intermeddle with to have your own joy. A stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. With all the teaching this year, there's still some of you that are strangers to joy. Haven't done a thing to change your life yet to find that. But there is something to joy. Now, number one, I'll give you seven things here. I'll speak quickly. You write these down that you need to intermeddle. Don't be a stranger to these seven things. And number one is salvation. Number one is salvation. Turn to Psalm 51. That's the book right in front of Proverbs. Psalm 51. And verse 12, it says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Number one, if you have never intermeddled, if you have never engaged with God's salvation, I want to encourage you today to intermeddle with his salvation. Let today be the day of thy salvation. Be born again into God's holy family by faith in Jesus Christ. Notice that salvation brings joy. The writer David lost that joy. He was a saved man, but he had committed a horrific sin with Bathsheba. He had committed adultery. And he lost the joy of his salvation. And so in his great confessional, his great prayer of confession to God, and that's who we confess to, by the way. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Salvation brings joy. If you have never been saved, you don't know the joy of salvation. I think anybody who's ever been saved knows the joy of salvation. If you didn't experience it, then maybe you didn't really get saved. The joy of salvation, it makes a difference in a person's life. I wouldn't mean to embarrass Brother Jim Olson, and I don't think he would be, but many of us knew him for many, many years before he was saved. And many of us have known him now since he's been saved in November, and I don't think there's a human being who's known him who can't tell that there's a difference about him. There's a glow about him. There's something he didn't have prior to last November that he has now, and it's called the joy of the Lord. It's called the joy of the Lord, and I see that same joy, that same glow coming off some of you, and I'm not talking about physical things here. I'm just talking to you that when you find a saved person who is enjoying their salvation still, there's something about that, there's a glow to it. Do you remember when you were saved? Man alive. You couldn't put in words of what the Bible calls joy unspeakable and full of glory. But man, you wanted to tell people. I know I did. I was pretty young. I was 12, but man, I was a little sinner. I did my share of sinning in 12 years. I was a filthy mouth sinner. Filthy mouth farmer. Not all farmers are that way. There's really some great farmers out there. But man, when I got saved, I don't know what it was, and some of you are spooked by feelings, but brother, I felt a ton of guilt and weight just lift off of my shoulders, and I was free. And brother, I felt good. Now maybe you don't like people talking that way, but I felt good. Now I'm not saying you got to have a good feeling to be saved. You got to have faith. There was one of my violins. You got to have faith to be saved. But you know, I think there's some feeling there that accompany true salvation. And it's called the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Have you ever experienced the joy of being in God's presence? In that presence, there's fullness of joy. I don't think a person can come into the presence of God, but that they don't experience some joy. And then number two, the Bible. Number two, you need to be saved. Number one, you need to be in the Bible. There's no doubt about it. There's no way around it. In John chapter 15, we find that the Bible is a source of joy. It says in John 15:11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And then over in John 17 and verse 13, he said, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." He's talking about what he speaks. He's talking about his word. Now, Jesus isn't on the earth today, but his word still is. And it's the written word, the Bible. And the Bible is a source of joy. A stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. He does not engage with his joy. I find the Bible to be a source of joy to me. Listen, every day. I read out of the Old Testament every day, the New Testament every day, the Psalms every day, and the Proverbs every day. And it continually gives me joy to read the Bible. And I'm talking about a joy you can't wear out. Because the Lord has saved my soul 36 years ago, and most of that time, except for about 3 years where I got away from the Lord, but most of that time I have been in the Bible and reading the Bible, and I'm telling you, it's a source of joy every day. You can't wear it out. I'm saying to you today that there are times where I'll read things and read things and read things, and I've read through the Bible from cover to cover, I think 29 times now. And just last week I saw something, and I'm telling you, it's like I had never seen it before in my life. Ever. I mean, I sat there and said, I don't think I have ever read this verse before. And wham, it just came alive. And I got excited about it. I mean, to think, you know, it just amazed me to think there's 6.3 billion people on earth, and the Holy Spirit takes time for one to show us something from his word every day if we want it. This book can be a source of joy. But a stranger doesn't intermeddle with his joy. And then number three, there's prayer. Prayer. We must intermeddle with prayer if we're going to have joy. John 16:24, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." That your joy may be full. Are you praying? Do you have a prayer life? I'm not talking about reciting memorized prayers. I'm not talking about reading missals. Some of you know what I mean. No, prayer should come from our hearts and should be the product of a life of communion with the Holy Ghost. James, the apostle, says, "You have not because you ask not." And I'm amazed at how much we go without because we never ask the Lord. Never ask the Lord. I'm talking about spiritual things, physical things, material things. There are spiritual things we go out without because we don't intermeddle with prayer. And one of those is joy. We have testimony meetings. I want to encourage you to come back tonight, 6:30. Almost without fail, every week somebody says, "I prayed for this, and God answered my prayer." And you can just see this smile, this joy radiating off of their face from my vantage point. Almost every week somebody says that. Where prayer had become a source of joy to that person. Spiritual. Physical. There are physical healings God wants to do to your body. But some of you have not yet asked him to do it. I know there's other times where suffering is part of his plan to draw us closer to him, and he's got some sovereign purpose in it. I understand it. But there are some people who God wants to heal you physically, and you have not yet asked him to do it. When you ask him, he's going to do it that you might have joy. And there's the material realm. I break up my whole prayer life into three realms: the spiritual realm, the physical realm, the material realm. And that's not just for me either. We ought to be praying for others first, and then yourself last. But don't forget to pray for yourself. And there are material things that God wants to do for you. There's miracles that God wants to do for you. I heard one man testify. I don't remember his testimony. Some of you at camp heard him. But I think he said, I haven't bought a car in 20 years. He says, every time I need a car, I pray. And somebody just walks up to me out of the blue and says, you need a car? I'm getting rid of my van, or I'm getting rid of my car here, or something like that. And for some reason, you're on my heart. There's a verse in Romans 9 that says, he that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? But we have not because we ask not. And one of the things we have not because we ask not is joy. A stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. And then there's the Holy Spirit, number four. We need to intermeddle with the Holy Spirit. I read earlier to you out of Romans 14, 17 that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Folks, if you've never learned this, learn it today. There is a third person of the Trinity. There is a third person of the Trinity. Brother Rich and I were visiting Tuesday. I don't know if you caught this while we were out visiting. We were visiting a family in Buffalo. Young converts starting to grow in the Lord, reading the Bible. And I could see that even though they're having some struggles, I could see the joy of the Lord on his face. I don't know if you heard him say this, Rich, but he said this. He says he's been reading the Bible every day. He said this, he said, Pastor, I heard you one time tell us in church that before you read the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Did you hear that Tuesday? And he said, and he just got this big smile on his face. He said, I'm understanding the Bible for the first time in my life. See, he's starting to intermeddle with the Holy Spirit. There is a third person of the Trinity. And we ought to be having fellowship with God the Father. We ought to be having fellowship with God the Son. But we ought to be having fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, it says, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14, it says, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The communion of the Holy Spirit is with all of you. It's supposed to be. That word communion means to have social intercourse with someone. We are supposed to have social intercourse with the Holy Spirit. Be with you all. It's not just something that's sanctified for a couple preachers or a couple missionaries or a couple evangelists. But I'm telling you, little boys and little girls downstairs can have communion with the Holy Spirit. Are you intermeddling with the Holy Spirit? Do you know him? Do you talk to him? Do you ask him for his help when you read the word, when you pray? Before you go out soul winning, do you say, Holy Spirit, help me? Before you minister and serve in your ministries in church or in the nursing home or prison or Hopevale or wherever you go, do you say, oh, Holy Spirit, help me, speak through me? And before you get into the Bible, like that fellow Tuesday night, do you say, Holy Spirit, I can't understand this book. Would you please show me what this means? I'll guarantee you, when you start intermeddling with the Holy Spirit, it'll bring joy. But a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. And then number five is church. Church ought to be a source of joy to us. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad. It ought to be a source of gladness. It ought to be a source of joy. But some don't intermeddle with their joy. The calendar had a verse on it, I noticed. It says Psalm 77:13, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? See, there's something special There's something special about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last word on the church, the last time it's ever mentioned. It says this in Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. An angel is God's messenger. Jesus said, I've sent my messenger to testify unto you these things in the churches. I believe, and if you'll study out ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church in the Bible, and there's a lot there, I wrote a booklet on it. I think they're out front, you can have one. I believe it's God's will that every one of us be part of a local New Testament church. And I believe we ought to go every time the doors are open. Because I believe God speaks at the church. Titus chapter 1 verse 3 says he manifests his word through preaching. Now yes, God will speak to you in personal Bible study. And yes, you can listen to the internet. And you can listen to cassette tapes. And you can listen to CDs and MP3s. And you can listen on the radio. And you can listen on the television. And there's some good preachers and teachers that we can learn from all of these forms. But when a person honors the Lord and physically gets up out of bed and takes themselves to the house of God, I believe God honors that person with a special revelation, just out of their obedience. Just out of their obedience. As the Lord sees them get up on Sunday morning and back on Sunday night and back on Wednesday night and says, you know, they're going to my house. They are honoring me physically by going to my house. I believe those verses I just read says God will give you a special revelation at the house of God. There will be something that you hear at church you'll never hear anywhere else. Because I, Jesus, he said, have sent mine angel to testify these things in the churches. Seven times in Revelation you'll hear this statement. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It's a special place of revelation, the church. And boy, I don't know about you, but I go to churches, I go to preachers' fellowships and hear other churches, and in fact, I hope to go on vacation the end of September. There's a couple of churches I want to stop by at in New York and one in New Hampshire that I've heard about, and so on and so forth. I'll guarantee if I go in right spirit to those churches, I'll guarantee I'll hear something from God that I would have never learned in private Bible study. You know, because God shows other people besides me things. And if I could humbly place myself at their feet and say, Lord, speak to me, God. I've listened to some of the most boring preachers in the world. But if my heart was right, God would speak to me through them. I'd get something. I've heard preachers ramble on like, what was that about? I've heard preachers read a text, give a title, preach the sermon, give the invitation, and not one of the four ever meet. They never have anything to do with themselves. You're like, you know, I think of homiletics all the time. And I'm like, what was that? But even in that mess, the Lord would speak to me here, and the Lord would speak to me here, and the Lord would speak to me here and give me something I never thought about. I write notes like crazy when people are preaching. Things I'd have never thought about in my life. You know why? Because if you're humble, you'll realize God shows other people things you'll never learn. And if you'll just listen to them, Sunday school teachers, junior church workers, amen? And lay preachers. We got a lay preacher tonight. Come, 5:30, an audio. This guy's 72 years old. He's not a pastor. But he gives two tremendous seminars on the King James Bible. And I was listening to him. 72, he's not a pastor. But we're going to play his CD tonight at 5:30. Downstairs in the New Edition. If you're wondering, is the King James Bible the Word of God? Or is the New International Version? Which one is it? You come tonight. You'll get some answers. And I was listening to this guy, 72 years old, from Pennsylvania. He said, can I send you a CD I did one time? I said, sure, I'll listen to it. Man, I started listening to that thing, Brother Rich. It was over an hour long. And I said, I never thought of that. 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 And you know what it did? It gave me joy. It was a sermon he preached up at Lighthouse Baptist Church in North Tonawanda. Give me joy. Church. Go to church. Soul winning, number 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Soul winning will bring you joy. It'll bring you joy. I tell you what. Brother Jim, tell us real quick what happened the other night about 9:30 at your house. Real quick. Real loud. 9:30 at night. Amen. Does that give you joy or what? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 9:30 at night. A couple of kids knock on his door and say, we want to buy your car. Is that a divine appointment or what? Jim's over here in tears right now. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Praise the Lord. Have you ever led someone to Christ? You can't get that kind of a joy from any sports event, any amount of money, any shopping trip. But a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. Some of you have convinced yourself you can't win souls. And you can. You can. All of us. It's not a calling. It's a commandment. You can win souls to Christ. It'll give you joy. The last thing is singing. I haven't even preached this one yet this year, but I will. Singing will bring you joy. Let me just close by saying this. We have too much fabricated music in this world. We have everybody else producing the music for us. When the Bible says, when we're filled with the Spirit, we should be the ones singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Music should be coming from within, without, not from without, within. We have way too much fabricated music today that's robbing us from a joy. A stranger doesn't intermeddle with his joy. Do you sing unto the Lord? Well, we'd rather just get in our car sometime and sing our lungs out. Do you good. And just pick a hymn. We need to learn the old hymns, by the way, too. And those are the ones that will give you joy, not this crazy stuff we hear nowadays. Are you intermeddling with your joy? Or are you just saying, satisfaction, happiness is good enough for me. I'll go second class. I don't want to go second class. Are you intermeddling with your joy? Let's bow for a word of prayer.